Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's that time of the week again. The Rugby League rant, fifth and last. Put on your headgear, chuck in your mouthguard, and get ready for an hour of nothing but NRL talk. Nine rounds down, and we have four teams on 7-2. Basically, it's our top four we picked.
Yep.
We are no surprises. Spot on so far. The Cowboys and the Broncos with the Melbourne Storm and the Cronulla Sharks. So after a slow start, both those sides find themselves on winning streaks, and even with those two gun sides on 7-2, about to be hit by the Rep Storm. But before we get into things and have a talk about the games, and we're also going to do power rankings tonight, what we think personally about the teams 1-16, not so much a ladder thing, but our thoughts on the teams just in general. We are going to do our fast five as always and answer your questions. So best, worst, high, low, any questions from the week? Who was your best?
The Sharkies. I think they deserve to get the gong this week. They rolled the premiership favourites on their home ground. I thought they were pretty clinical. They look like a deer in the headlights with about 15 to go. I think they stopped playing a little bit.
Yeah.
And the Broncos threatened, but I think the Sharks deserve to win, and they were my best for the round.
Yeah, I have a kind of a tie between them and the Eels, because under duress, this cat thing's still hanging over their head. Foran got pulled out of that game. I didn't think it was a high-quality game of football, but they showed the heart and spirit that I didn't really expect. I thought that might have been the straw that broke the camel's back. Not for the season, but just for that game. I thought they had a reason to turn up and kind of go on their shell, but they certainly didn't. And they lost three players during the game. They had one left on the bench with 50 to go.
Yeah.
So I'm even
more concerning out of that was the Bulldogs.
Yeah, but I'm still ultimately impressed that they got the win in those circumstances. Who was your worst?
The Titans.
Yeah.
I thought they stunk.
Five losses
at home. They were horrendous. That's the worst they've played all year. And Ryan James, in and amongst all that, carrying on like a clown. I don't need to say any more. He was a muppet yesterday. I know Kenny Bromwich tried to punch him, but I reckon there were probably 30 players on the field that wanted to punch him.
Oh, I said that when I was
including
sitting there.
The ref. He kept bitching and whinging all the time. And
yeah,
he just needs to focus on playing decent footy, shut his mouth, and he might
just focus.
Find that his form will improve and become more consistent.
Yeah. Well, mine was Souths. Again, just ultimately disappointed. You know what? And I will say it, and I said it last week. Greg Inglis had a go last week. He did it again this week. He made almost 300 metres. He's busting his hump, but that team is just giving absolutely nothing.
At least they scored a point.
Yeah, but they're just giving nothing at the moment. And the Tigers side, again, well, that's
Nathan Brown in that game was very good.
Well, against his old teammates, they gave him the flick, so he had a point.
He's mental.
Yeah, he went nuts because they basically cut him for all mentions I got that he wasn't fit enough and he shouldn't be playing first grade. So, he showed plenty of spite the other night. But, yeah, I'm not knocking the Tigers. They showed plenty of heart. But no Moses, he pulls out before kickoff. No Woods, and they lose Tedesco at halftime. For Souths to throw out what they did. And the scoreboard doesn't truly reflect the game. The Tigers dominated. They scored off a drop ball and one off a bomb that hit the ground.
Yeah.
So the 22 points doesn't reflect the way Souths played.
No.
The only player I'm going to give her up to, like I said, Nathan Brown. And GI absolutely worked his ass off for a bloke who's busted at the moment and copped some criticism. But for the last couple of weeks, he's at least tried.
Well, we've criticised him.
Yeah, well, he deserved it.
When he plays well, like he has now, we'll give him his comeuppance.
No one should have to deal with that crap week to week. But if you're almost punching out 300 metres in such a disgraceful performance, you've done your job.
100%.
You've done everything you could. But who was your highlight?
The highlight? Well, mine was Mitchell Pearce returning. I think he played well.
Yeah.
And as a spectacle, I think probably the Broncos-Sharks game was a real highlight. And just the way that the Cowboys-Manly game was played, it was pretty open and the Cowboys played good footy. But, yeah, I think I've got more lowlights than I do highlights this week, unfortunately.
Well, my highlight was two games. Sharks-Broncos, like you said, I thought was a fantastic advertisement for the game. And the other one was the Penrith-Canberra game. I wasn't happy with all the decisions, but they went after each other. there's a bit of a
daytime
thing,
footy.
Yeah, but there's a bit of a thing between these two the last couple of years about having good games and a bit of spot. And there was plenty of feeling in this one. So
yeah.
Those two I enjoyed particular. And yeah, Sunday, the Broncos-Sharks game saved me, I must admit. Because the two games prior, the Warriors-Dragons game didn't impress me. And the Melbourne game. I love watching Melbourne, but I got bored as well.
Yeah.
Just because I at least want to see a struggle or a contest. It was just lopsided. The Tigers-Rabbitohs game didn't impress me. Overall, yeah. That Broncos game saved the round for me. And that Penrith-Canberra game was also another highlight. Those two really saved me.
Yeah.
Low light.
Diving.
Yeah.
Diving. Players laying down. It is to the point now where it is embarrassing. And I'm not going to turn off because I can't turn off. I love the game too much, but it's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing.
And the excuses that some of the players are coming up with and the fact that they think that no one can see that they're diving is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous.
There was plenty.
The Jamie Lyon one was the worst. That was a dive, but there were still players laying down, like copping a little slap on the chin and laying down. And kudos to the refs this week because there was a little bit of, mate, get up.
Yeah.
Which I think, you know, discretion needs to be used. And obviously you can't do that in every case because, you know, if someone's got a serious injury and you do that.
Yeah.
It's not a great look. But... Far too often, players are getting penalties for innocuous little taps on the face, staying down, and it's a blot on the game.
Well, we saw a couple in games that we mentioned. I'm not going to run through all of them because we have a fair list here, but there was a few that decided to get up after thinking about it.
Yeah.
But the other one that kicked it off again, first game Thursday night, Nofaluma tried to pray for a crusher that didn't happen where a bloke missed him,
yeah.
Stood up afterwards, threw the football, should have been a turnover, he got a penalty.
Yeah.
Because of the fight that ensued. He should have been penalised
for throwing the ball. Milking he incited it, and yeah. That's right. So, well, the other one, I've got a few. The foreign situation, obviously.
Yeah, that's a low lot.
Let's not speculate, but it is sad. Very sad.
Leave him alone.
Exactly. Leave him alone, but it is sad, and yeah. I think everyone's pulling for him. We've never met him personally, but from how he comes across on TV and any interview he's ever done and the way he plays the game, seems like a real gentleman, so all the best. James Tedesco's injury.
Yeah, that's a
real low light, I thought. You know, he's probably almost a lock, I think, if I'm picking the Origin team. Christ knows what Daly's going to come up with. That leads me into...
Could.
Yeah, well, you'd like to think so, but this farce that is the city-country game, the selection process, the fact that the head coach of New South Wales is not picking the sides, the fact that two blokes who don't even know whether they're registered coaches are coaching, well, obviously Freddie would have to be coaching the NRL, are coaching it, the fact that, theoretically, city-country... You don't get the best four wingers. You don't get the best two fullbacks. You don't get the best four centres because, theoretically, the top four fullbacks could be from City.
Yeah.
You're only picking one, and then, therefore, the guy that starts for country might be a fifth-ranked bloke. Well, it just makes absolutely no sense to me at all.
Yeah.
As a coach. And who are his assistants? Who are Daly's assistants?
Still Matt Parrish, isn't it? And I don't know. He turned it over a couple of years ago.
So if it's only Matt Parrish.
A couple of years ago, there was Parrish, I think, from the start, but he had others in camp helping out.
Well, he had Barrett. Doesn't he have Barrett? Barrett was an assistant.
Not anymore. He wouldn't. Last year, he had Nathan Brown,
too. Just for argument's sake, you know, if it is Barrett and Parrish, they should coach these sides.
Well, he won't be doing it anymore. That's why he's left the country job. He was doing country.
Yeah, okay, but I'm just saying, just to use it as an example, if he's... It could be, you know, Mr. Smith and Mr. whoever, Mr.
Yeah.
You know, Frank or whatever. They should be the assistant coaches because... And then it's all kept internal to New South Wales.
Well, I don't know. Freddie runs the water for them, so I don't know if that means that Fitzy's running water as well. But, yeah, in camp the last few years, they've had a million people. I've seen Blocker.
It's ridiculous.
And I've seen Glenn Lazarus, who's now supposedly going for Queensland because he's running for a seat up there. But I've seen a million people in camp. The only consistent figure next to him the whole time I've seen is Parrish. And
Bob Fulton, obviously. Yeah.
And last year he had Nathan Brown for the year because he was only consulting with Melbourne. So,
It's really today, I haven't really taken much notice of it, and I won't watch the game. I'm going to refuse to watch the game because it's not a trial. It's a Mick Mockery circus. You might get one or two blokes that will get picked out of it. They're not the best players. There's no organisation. It's a farce. And as much as I like the City Origin concept, it's outdated. It needs a revamp.
Yeah.
If you're going to play City Country, play it as a token City Country. Pick your best 34 players that you want to see trial for Origin, with the exceptions of anyone who's locked in, and he should basically come out now and say, these are the guys that are guaranteed a Blues jersey. Well, obviously, if they're playing for Australia, they're guaranteed. But if there's guys playing in this game that are going to play for New South Wales, they shouldn't be playing.
Well, the fact, if Boyd Cordon has got a trial, I'm not here.
I agree.
And he's 2 weeks back from a pec tear, he should be in our squad.
Mitchell Pearce wasn't named either, was he?
No. And I didn't.
So I'm basically thinking he's picked.
Didn't see Josh Reynolds or Hodkinson or any of these guys, so that's what's got me even more worried. And Maloney has to play in there. Maloney should be another one of these ones out of all of them. Our halves form, for everyone that's asked during the show, there's a good reason we haven't wanted to pick a pair of halves, because basically they've all been terrible. And a lot of people that
I said to you a month ago, I'd pick Pearce, and you sort of looked at me like, you're an idiot.
No, I thought it was stupid not the Pearce thing, talking about it, because they're all playing bad and we're an age away, but look at it now.
But I copped a little bit on social media about it, but now everyone seems to have come along.
Everybody...
There's no one there that really stands out to me that says, pick me.
Everybody still struggles to swallow this concept and swallow your pride that we've been outdone because they've had a better side.
Yeah.
That it's not Pearce's fault we lose every year. Sure, he struggles, but they've got the best spine possibly in Queensland history. If you wanted to make the Immortals a bit more of an open concept, they've probably got 6 guys that would qualify for it, and they've beaten us up in every facet of the game. They're smarter than us, they're better than us. The side, it wouldn't matter who we had, we haven't had good halves, sure,
but even still, I think in all due respect to them, and they've been great, 9 out of 10,
we've blown
for a lot of those, we've been in deciders and blown them.
I think
realistically, if you go and look back, we blew 2 series out of those 9 that we lost.
They get it done.
It should be 70-30.
They still get it done.
7-3, I think. Oh, of course they do. And that's why they've won, 9 out of 10. I think even the year we won, we could have easily lost that game,
We weren't even excited when we won that one, because that game was so bland. We walked out like, wow.
Well, at least we won one, yeah.
Yeah, we did. But you got to a point where you just numb a bit.
I am going to spontaneously combust. I am livid about this game. It's ridiculous. It highlights the incompetence of the New South Wales Rugby League.
Yeah.
I love Laurie Daly as a player. Love him as a bloke. But this is just a circus.
Yeah.
Circus.
I feel disappointed.
And I've got to call it.
Because there is a few mates that got picked for this side as well. I don't know. They're stoked for it. And I don't want to take anything away from the experience. But when players pull out, and rightfully so, because clubs have to pay their wages, and like I said, Fittler's come out today and said it's disappointing they don't get picked for the rep side. What happens if you're paying Blake Austin, who got an upgraded contract last year, I'm hearing in the figures of close to $600,000.
Yeah.
He's playing injured already for Canberra. Who's his club and pays his wage? You want him to play in a game when last year he scored a hat-trick and he didn't get picked for New South Wales.
Correct.
So you're not going to risk him.
You know what he's going to do.
Yeah, but you're not going to risk him, are you, if you're Ricky Stewart or Canberra? No. You're paying
and
his
Laurie
wage.
Daly shouldn't... Well, Laurie Daly obviously didn't pick
And Caesar got named. I was surprised that Canberra were even happy to let him or the other 5 blokes go. If I'm looking at this concept right now, and he's got a relationship with Daly or someone, I'd be ringing going, are you seriously looking at any of these blokes? Because if not, I don't want any of them in this game.
Yep.
I'm going to worry on my club side. And they've got a 3-day turnaround.
And all this shit about... Oh, it's good for the game and it's good for country footy. It's not good for country footy.
You know what's good for country footy? The Bathurst game on the weekend. And the other games that have moved the last few years, there's been 1 or 2 that go.
Well, during the school holidays, I went out with a couple of blokes from Penrith and we ran a clinic out at Bathurst. There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. That's good for country footy.
Yeah.
This crap, just, you know what? How many do you think they'll get there on the weekend? They won't sell this out. Who wants to go and watch this game? Even if I leave, we go to Mudgee a lot.
If I saw the city side right now, I reckon...
You wouldn't go.
No, I wouldn't be bothering. I reckon country. If I'm a country boy, I'm happy, but I reckon it's going to be one
side. Just go because, there's a game, we'll go.
Yeah, that's the only reason. I reckon maybe 5, at best, I'd say 10,000.
You're definitely not going for the spectacle. And you know what? They outpriced themselves over the last few years as well, bumping the tickets up.
They should just
open the frigging gates.
Yeah, either that or at worst, it's 10 ahead and get $2 tinnies happening.
Exactly. I'm as frustrated as hell about it. You probably tell, but
yeah,
well, it's a mockery.
Any other? That's your low light. I was about to go to questions. I forgot. My low light, moving on, is just teams fading out so early in the year and basically having to pen for themselves. Newcastle, I expected.
Yeah.
Your mob surprised me kicking off how well they did, but I didn't think they were...
We sort of do that every year, but...
Yeah, but I really didn't see them coming...
They fooled me.
...to this point, and now 5 in a row. I was really happy, but I did say that they struggled.
A few of them have been close.
Yeah.
So...
But the spirit's kind of faded, I think, with a few close losses where they fought back and died off.
Well, the Dogs game should have won.
They're a young side. And then Souths, of all these. Like, the Tigers, again, doesn't surprise me, but Souths losing 6 of their last 7 with the side they've got. I touched on it last week. I'm not going to depth. There's more going there than meets the eye. So I'm just disappointed.
Titans is a lack of personnel.
Yeah.
South is a lack of spark,
it's sad that already, passion. That almost every week there's a couple of teams you just look at and tip against them straight away. I'm Slater out, they're going to lose.
Yep.
So that's kind of my low light. But questions, what do you got?
Mate, I think we've just gone through most of them. I'm happy to answer this.
You got pretty angry. Sharks, are they legit? I know it's early, but just from what you've seen and the sample size.
However, they're going to have to improve because those other sides are going to improve. I think Brisbane are still in second gear.
And again, like we said earlier, I can't believe after one or two rounds, people, don't ask us who the origin halves are going to be or our team's crumbling. You've played two games. We said
It's a month. I think it's a what is it today?
We said wait until the things develop a little bit. Give them some time.
It's 4 weeks Wednesday till game one.
More in particular.
Give it a fortnight.
Yeah, but even this football, people freak out when their team loses their first game. After two games, people are freaking about the Sharks.
Yeah.
You can't do it. They've had a whole spine, you know, restructure, a couple of guys in different positions, and slowly but surely, now they've got on this run where they've won five or six in a row because they're moving into the season. So just don't panic.
Well, the side, the origin side, usually named on a Monday, is that right?
From memory.
Sunday?
Straight after, yeah.
Wednesday, the sides will be named 3 weeks today. So yeah. 3 weeks out. It becomes now, it's going to be a discussion every week.
Yeah, that's the same thing. When you get things after one or two games, going, who's the halves? Yeah. My team's already struggling. You can't judge anything until you get to these checkpoints. This is the first checkpoint.
Well, you can only judge it on what you've seen.
Yeah, but this is
ridiculous to judge it on what you've seen when you're 10 weeks out.
Yeah, but at 1 week in or 2 weeks in, you can't be freaking out at your side.
No.
You know, that's why we're talking. You have to be patient.
Well, look at Kronk. He's played well the last two weeks.
He's been good.
Yeah.
Dives, you've already touched on. The obstruction rule, I was going to say there was a few 50-50s again on the weekend. That's probably...
I agree with most of them, to be honest.
Something I still think needs to be cleared up. That's
I had a pretty good back and forth with Gus on Twitter on Saturday night, if people want to go on Twitter and have a look at it.
Look at the feed.
It was interesting. Interesting, because he's forgot more about footy than I know, so... Getting his input on it. He seemed to... His whole opinion on obstruction was that... It shouldn't matter what the defence does. It should be all about what is legal for the attack to do.
Yeah. So basically, like you were saying, you're talking about banning lead runners or he doesn't like the block
shot. Well, I said that to him. He said, well, it works, so that's why teams do it. And I get that.
Yeah.
But my whole argument is I don't think it's a good look for the game. Everyone does the same thing. I think if you pull the lead runners out, you're then going to have to... Teams are going to have to come up with another way to attack. And I think in the current system and the way the rules are, it'll open the game up.
Yeah. All right, well, that's our questions, our Fast Five. We're going to quickly fly through your questions before we do the reviews of the games from the weekend and our power rankings. The Buckster, in your opinion, who are three realistic recruitment targets the Knights should go for to strengthen their team for 2017? Well, honestly, mate, at this point in time, and I said this before, they kind of need to build internally and find out what's good in their own squad because I don't think they're going to be able to attract anyone. No one's going to want to go there. Probably the one name they really went hard for early on because he has heartstrings to the club is Boyd Cordner because he's from that catchment area. And
good luck.
They would have had to pay him a ridiculous amount of money over. Again, I don't want to be too critical, but we're honest on this show. I wouldn't be worried about three realistic targets. I'd be worried about ciphering through all these kids. Finals.
We'll give him one. Who's one? Cordner.
No, Cordner's not going to get... You can't buy Cordner. Sorry. He's already re-signed.
They're not going to get Cordner. But who? Give him someone.
Well, I'm sitting here trying to think, where do you start? They need more than three. That's the thing. I think it's more important that you have a core there, though, that you've developed yourself before. I think they can go by people.
I think they need a nine.
I think nine's probably the biggest Seguiara. One. So, yeah, but again, would you go there? Or if Pete's is off contract, somebody like that?
No, I'm just saying.
Nine's the area, if of all. And I think fullback at the moment, I'm still not sure what they're doing. And the halves, I'm not really a big fan, obviously, of Hodkinson or Mullen. I think Mullen's injury prone and a bit older, and Hodkinson they've already paid overs for, so... That's what I'm saying. It's hard for me to say through because realistically, I don't know at the top end who's going to want to go there.
Yeah.
They really need to knuckle down. We've touched this a million times. Over the next couple of years, build a decent core internally, and then I think they can try and push. But right now, mate, it's a hard time. I really don't know who at the top end, even like a Tamau, if they needed a prop, which they do, you're not going to get him. You're going to have to pay a mint and he might take the coin, but I don't think you're going to get it.
Mm.
So, yeah, hard times ahead, unfortunately. And hopefully they can take themselves out of this time. Because me growing up...
I think Elijah Taylor would have been a good buy for him.
Yeah, that's someone they could definitely use. Me growing up, I always saw Newcastle in the top eight, basically. I was used to them being...
Well, they had Andrew Johns.
Yeah, but that's where I grew up with them. Parramatta, there was a few teams...
It's like watching the Cowboys now with Thurston.
They were always a power. But Lachlan Bickley, why did Ryan Madison have to wait two whole games to get picked for rep footy? Yeah.
Ridiculous. We've just gone over it. Yeah. I've just blown up for 10 minutes about it.
Yeah. Adam Fanua Blake, three games. Wonga Blake last year, only played a handful. I think Tedesco, Brooks, a few of those blokes a few years ago were the same deal.
Wonga Blake. They all. Off a couple.
They all. Yeah, he did last year. Yeah. And those Tigers boys a few years ago, like Tedesco and all that, got picked off two or three as well. So
ridiculous.
That's all we're saying. That game is basically lost all
It's meeting. A mockery.
Yeah. Stoney, do you see any point in City Country? Does anyone really care?
No.
No, nah, we've gone over that one, so that's all
answered. I'm not watching it.
Going up here. Gavin, at any odds, should blokes who blatantly dive stay down get some sort of penalty from the match review committee? How about 25 points?
Yeah, but again, it's hard to deem. Unless it's blatant. If it's blatant, I think they should get a week.
What's an injury? What's not an injury? Do they go for the concussion? That's the one thing I reckon. If they dive, they have to go for a scat test, minimum. There's the concussion test.
Yeah, and charge them an interchange.
Josh Reynolds tried not to do it the other night after he clearly did. Clearly did try to stay down, so... Yeah. Randy Festus, after the opening 9 rounds, what is your opinion on Trent Barrett?
I think he's done a good job.
I think so too. I think they'd be higher, and I'm kind of impressed with what I've seen considering the struggles they've had injury-wise.
He can coach on the run. That's what he's proved that. He's done a fantastic patch-up job.
Yeah. They're a very, very tough football side, I must admit. After struggling for a few weeks, they've put in an effort every single game, and I think they're doing better if they have all these blokes on the field, so... Sam Taylor, should the Dragons bite the bullet and drop Benji completely? 4 wins, 1 loss without him, 4 losses with him in the side. Well, I'm going to throw it out there. I had a few people I worked with that go for the Dragons say, we win with McCrone, and McCrone's not fixing your problem either. That's got nothing to do with it as far as I'm concerned. Nah. And I honestly didn't think Benji was too bad on the weekend. But at the same time, I think, again, this is...
Well, I know McGregor and him aren't seeing eye to eye. They're as good as Taylor and Farrah.
Obviously not, but he's basically walking around saying, I'm worth this much, which he's not, and he's got himself up on a pedestal, and they're trying to be realistic about things. So I think it's untenable regardless. But my big issue is not just the Benji side of things, it's McGregor as well. He hired Jason Demetrio, the Cowboys attacking coach, to fix their attack.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think...
It ain't fixed.
He's had nothing to do with that side.
I don't think it's a... Well, it is obviously a structural
He's had
problem,
nothing to do with that side.
It's a personnel.
I watched them play Cutters the other week, and he coaches that side. And they were struggling for personnel, but they played a completely different brand of football to their first grade side. So why would you bring somebody in that you're clearly frustrated or worried about taking your job if that was the whole point of bringing them in the first place?
I know all about that.
Yeah. So that's basically why I'm confused. I think this is partly McGregor's fault. It's the club situation we spoke before. They're really struggling with TPAs, third parties, and spending their full cap, and they're trying to get value for money, which is why they've got some bit players there, and they don't want to overpay for Benji. So, I think you probably stick with Benji, to be honest. Or, I've said it before, they got Hutchinson there. He was the Australian 20s kid. They supposedly like him.
Well, put him in.
Exactly. So, if you're worried about Benji, and I don't think McCrone's the answer, at least try the kid.
Yeah.
You paid him. Give him some game time.
I think at the moment it'll be top 8 relevancy. If they go out of top 8...
Yeah,
contention. You probably will see him flick Benji and bring Hutchinson in, and well, just see whether he's a long-term prospect.
Yeah, Jordan Redwell. My question, if you haven't recorded yet, no, we're recording right now. Is would you pick Justin O'Neill in the Queensland team or Dan Gagai in the centres? Well, I think Darius Boyd would be playing fullback. I'd be putting GI in the centres, and if I was going to pick the other one because Chambers is going to be out, I'd be happy to pick O'Neill and Felt on the other side of the field with Gagai on the other wing.
Yeah, I'd do exactly the same.
So that's just because you
can't... They're both going to be in the side, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You want Thurston, and obviously Morgan's going to be in the side.
But if
you'd rather have O'Neill there.
If they're not going to go Oates, because they've had, obviously, Gagai previously last year, I wouldn't have a problem if they went O'Neill and Oates, but if they wanted to go a club combo, which sometimes you do see, and they've already got Thurston, I'd be happy for them to pick Felt and O'Neill on one side of the field and have GI with Gagai on the other side. Or, yeah, they could go O'Neill.
I wouldn't pick Feld at all. I'd pick Gagai and
O'Neill.
Oates.
Yeah, well, Oates, like I said, you can break that combo, but honestly, they've got a few ways they can go about it. So Queensland shouldn't be too wide.
And then I'd pick, obviously, a GI and...
But that's my general consensus. They've got ways to cover this, unlike when we look at it sometimes and we panic.
Yeah.
They've got a way around. They could pick the Cowboys there.
But I still look at our back line and theirs. I think our back line's better from 1-5.
If it's healthy
and
if it's picked correctly.
Yeah.
But that's the question that we've got half the time, unfortunately. Will we pick the correct side?
Yeah.
Paul Ogeros, McGregor, worse than Price or equal? He's definitely not worse than Price.
No.
Price was terrible. But like I said, how can you bring somebody in from the premiership winning side who was given a rap for working with their attack and then not letting near your side? Because clearly you've got, you know, issues with him doing that because that might cost you your job, or you're that insecure about it.
I got a feeling Steve Price jumped on a grenade and he didn't know about it.
He crashed the Ferrari. He
jumped on a grenade.
Yeah, he sure did.
Wayne! Jumped on a grenade.
Why? Patrick Rout, how do the Panthers improve their final 10 minutes of game time? Well, I think the biggest thing is improving the first 70 minutes to stop finding themselves in these arm wrestles.
Yeah, they just had a power nap. They tend just to clock off and they don't really know how to put a side away.
The second half.
It's like they just want to be in a war.
The second half, Canberra were all over it, basically. For well, they were. It was ridiculous. They were.
Probably at least for the last 20, I thought. But I think they Penrith did well to hang on.
Sorry. I still think...
The momentum was gone.
Young blokes are doing half decent, but yeah, I'm looking at the key position players. I think Wallace did a good job that we set at 9, but again on the weekend, with everything kind of mixed up a little bit, I didn't think there was much coming out of the halves. So their best football is just off offloads. When things get loose... They look outstanding.
I think it was one of Soward's better games of the year.
Well, at least he tried to run the football a few times.
He did. He got whacked a few times.
Yeah, and try and get involved. So, yeah, basically, I think they've just got to improve their whole 80 to not find themselves in that last 10 minutes there, Patrick. So that's the biggest issue. They seem to find themselves in a dogfight every week, as Brock said. Dean McNamara, is there really a need for City, Country? Our Origin team is already picked before the game, so why play it? Why should clubs risk losing players to injury? Yeah, we've already gone over
this. We agree.
100%. It's an absolute waste of time. Dinos Daniel, who do you think has the most busted nose in the NRL now and all time?
Well, most busted nose?
I think Tony Grimaldi would get pretty close. That's one that
shovel face
instantly springs to mind. I seen a photo of him when I was a young bloke when he first came to grade, and his nose is all right.
Danny Williams is never the greatest face in the world.
Danny Williams from Melbourne.
Yeah.
Mate, he wrecked other people's faces.
He probably did.
He split other faces.
I think Scotty Sattler's got a pretty ordinary nose. He used to come into school a little bit and mentor us when we were playing at Tommy's.
I'm trying to think.
He had a pretty ugly schnoz.
Grimaldi's the first one that popped in my head.
I'll have to have a look at MG's nose next time we...
Nah, there's nothing wrong with it. Cooper Cronk's got a wonky nose at the moment,
He does.
For a bloke that's been so perfect...
Yeah, there you go. Currently, it's probably Cooper.
His nose is a bit sideways.
Shovel face.
But all the time, I haven't been alive long enough to think, oh, I'm going to go with Grimaldi. I saw a photo of him when he debuted.
He's just an ugly man.
But when he debuted and when he finished, he looked that up. His face copped a fair pancake, and let me tell you. Sean McCann, I always look at this one and I think I'm getting it wrong. Sorry, champion. City Country, complete waste of time. Kyle Lovett in a rep jersey. Seriously, mate. Going to this one, we agree. A lot of people understand where we're coming from. They agree. How do we fix the bunker? This is from Aaron Wood. Clear obstruction of Paul Vaughan and not reversed by the bunker. Though should have the on-field ref made the decision. Well, I'm going to sound biased saying this, basically. But last year, after what the Warriors did, they said you couldn't form a wall, basically. And that's basically what happened.
Penrith did.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Bulldogs did it the week before against the Titans.
Yeah, and everyone...
But they weren't actually connected, standing next to each other.
It was the same principle.
Correct. And, you know, I didn't bitch or moan about it because the Titans had 18 shots at field goal before
I wasn't complaining in the Raiders game either, but when I looked at it, I said, if that's not what they said last year... think
he held him. He grabbed him.
Both of them did. The marker went at him, and then Merrin had a go too.
So. I would have been very happy to see that reversed. I don't know. Well, how do we fix a bunker? Well, get some common sense.
Yeah. Basically, and I think it was Aaron who asked last night, why don't we have the same people every week? One of the difficulties for a game like that is they need to take that mobile van, so they need someone back at the base. Back to the bunker!
Why is that?
Because they don't have the technology at the ground to link everything in, so they have to take the mobile bunker. Because the stadium...
The mobile bunker.
Wow. Yeah, got to get the bunker on the road.
It's like the Mars rover.
Outstanding. Sandy, your thoughts on the Aussie team selection and City Country format, and should they still be playing?
No.
City Country, no.
City Country,
Aussie team I didn't have a problem with. We spoke about bolters like Tedesco, Oates, I think Ethan Lowe, a couple of these guys.
Well, I've got a gripe.
Who?
Semi Radradra.
Yeah, well, I already said. I thought they should have picked Oates.
Should not be playing for Australia.
Corey Oates should be on that wing.
I don't have a racist bone in my body. I just don't think residency should be relevant.
No, it shouldn't be relevant. And then we've just backflipped on our own principle. Like, they should be playing for their teams, the best players, so we're still their best player. Good move, Lua. Good move. Love your work. Dave McNeil. Question, bunker. Either use common sense on what they see or strictly by the book. It has to be consistent. 100% agree, champion. You're seeing differences of opinions, which
Common sense creates grey. Yeah, I don't mind at the moment because it's pretty black and white.
Well, they need to stay that way. Patton obviously was black and white this week, but he had footballer's brain going last week. So they've been up and down. My biggest thing is them still coming in and out of games. I still need to see this supposed media release that the media got, not even the coaches, explaining the situations where the bunker can intervene.
I also think...
Why haven't the coaches and us been able to see that, first of all? That's confusing. Hugh Laws. Will Semi Radradra affect you watching us supporting the Kangaroos? Personally, I won't, and leaves us out. It's not going to... affect me supporting them or watching the game, but I'm still don't think you should be there.
I'm the same.
Simple as that. I just don't think you should be there. Troy Schroeder, is the bunker actually any different to what we've had in the past, or is it just those imbeciles who are in control of it?
No, well, you're not going to change people's brains. The people haven't changed. It's just we call it, now call it the bunker, not the video ref.
And we've got all these different angles, and it was supposed to speed things up.
I hear it's $2 million a year. It's not $2 million flat rate.
They were trying to get it sponsored and other competitions to use it, basically.
Who's going to sponsor it? Mind you, it's probably good PR.
Yeah.
You're going to get plenty of exposure.
And it's doing the opposite of what it's supposed to do at the start. If it was fast, now it's back to the video ref. It just goes slow. So we're back to
square. Slow and incompetent. So any business that's slow and incompetent, probably a good advertising opportunity for you.
We're back to the same spot, basically, as we were last year, mate, unfortunately. Gary Shepherd, Cousin Gary. Can the Broncos perform in a day game that's not on a Friday? During the first half, we were hammered by Sharks, but in the second half, when the lights came on... Are they vampires, are they?
Did we not... Who does Gary support?
Newcastle.
Who did the Broncos play on a Saturday night 2 weeks ago?
Newcastle.
Who won that game?
Brisbane.
By a landslide.
50-something to zip.
Come on, Gaz.
Mate. Daytime games, it wasn't an issue.
Maybe they haven't seen that replay in Queensland yet.
You've got to remember, mate, they were 7-1 heading in this one, so they're due a loss every so often, which is the flip side, obviously.
Well, no, yeah, it's a loss, but it's a very close
loss. But you're not going to win every week. You're 7-1, to come up with that after a thing about daytime games...
I've got a big bet on top four, so
yeah,
I'm sweating.
I don't think it has much to do with it. With not
hopefully there's no losing streak here.
Yeah,
for Brisbane.
I wouldn't read too much into that one, champion. I don't think there's too much in that at all.
I think you've got bigger concerns with the Knights.
Yeah, basically. Peter Ball, what does Fenton have to do to get picked for country? Another year left out of rep football. I have to wonder if the poor guy has his card marked or has done or said something wrong to people.
I'm going to be honest with you. He's lucky to be playing for Canberra at the moment. Starting for Canberra.
Really?
I don't think he's got much impact at all anymore.
It's all the dirty work he does. He plays 80, he makes 56 tackles a week. I'm with you. I think with the dynamic pack with Junior Paulo coming, to Pine's contribution, Whitehead, he works his backside off. But the way they've recruited in the forwards, they're looking to go power, dynamic football.
I just think that's the way the game's going. Yeah. I don't think Fenson was relevant like 3 or 4 years ago. I don't think he is anymore.
No. Yeah, he definitely
backs. Great player. Don't get me wrong. I'm not bagging him as a player. He's a gun first grader.
Yeah.
I just look at him and go, well...
The way they're buying,
though, I'm definitely not going to pick him for Origin.
They're going, no.
I'm definitely... And I think his relevancy to Canberra is waning because the game's changing.
But the way they've recruited is telling you what they're going.
Yeah, and he's a straight up and down player. You know what you're going to get from him.
You know exactly what you're going to get. And he busts his ass every week. Joseph Palazzi, with the Panthers seeming to always play to the level of the opponent in front of him, if they fix their last 20 minutes in games, are they a true dark horse?
Well, they are.
They could be, but I think it's more that effort over the game. Not so much. Everyone keeps talking about this last 10 or 20. You should find yourselves in better positions heading into that last 10 or 20 minutes. They keep putting themselves in that position because they drift in and out of games, which is why they keep finding themselves.
They're beating some good sides this year. They're a good side.
Yeah, but
they're just trying to work themselves
out. I'm just saying over a full 80, everyone keeps bringing up the last 10 or 20. You shouldn't be in that situation all the time if you do the right things in the first 60, 70 minutes. They drift in and out of games. That's their biggest issue.
Yeah, they've had a lot of injuries as well, as usual.
Ben Kirkham, if your own team doesn't take part in 2016's JF, who would you like to see there and cheer for based on what you've seen so far?
Well, I want to see...
Well, every week I praise the Cowboys, so...
I want to see Cowboys Brisbane.
I want to see the Cowboys versus anyone.
Brisbane.
But if it was Brisbane or the Sharks, I'd be pretty happy to be honest.
No, I wouldn't want to see Sharks in a grand
final. Or the Storm. Go to the Storm! I'd be happy to go watch Cowboys, Sharks, Brisbane Sharks, any of that three combination basically at the moment. There's not really anyone else that stands out to me. Chris Cohen, why can't the NRL introduce a rule where if a player lays down after claiming to be hit higher, they have to come off the field for a concussion test? Well, they should be doing that.
We said that.
If they are milking it. And trying to try to drag Josh Reynolds and he stayed. That bloke on the sideline that supposedly got a computer watching all this should have basically told the club right then and there.
Well, no, what should happen is the game stops.
Yeah, and he has to go.
Yep.
He has to go straight away.
This is the whole thing. Like, don't lay down or feign injury. And in that case, I'm not saying he did.
Yeah.
But if you're going to, just know that if,
you're gonna
regardless
go
of the result, whether you get a penalty or not, you're going off.
Yeah, and he's got that here. I get coaches may try to rule the rule, but if they come off and pass a concussion test, then it counts as an interchange.
I think it should just count straight up.
Yeah.
And then you get the interchange back if you pass it.
Yeah. Jordan Palmer, question. Seeing that the Dragons just cost me $650 off a six-leg $20 multi last week, I'd like to know what's your biggest multi win. Also, is it bad that I'm more excited to watch the girls' test more than the men's? They seem to have the bigger hits now with less diving.
He's got a point. We've got a rugby league program at school, and I actually like watching the girls more than I do the boys, to be fair.
Because they just rip into each other.
Oh, they're reckless. absolutely reckless. What was his biggest multi win? I had one last night.
I had one the other year. I think it was probably the first year we did the podcast. I did the last round where you basically know what's happening. And this is actually sad. The multi didn't win, but I hedged the bet because I got a tip from somebody.
As you do.
That Melbourne were going to pull all their players out. I did the last.
Right, the Roosters. Yeah. We both loaded up on that.
I let you know because I got a bit of an inside tip that they were yanking all their players, but I had an 8-legger on.
Oh, I remember going down to buy a carton before that game because it was a Sunday night game in replacing the Monday night game.
I flipped.
And there were people in the line at Dan Murphy's telling me, oh, yeah, the Storm are pulling all their players tonight, bro.
I flipped out.
Have a bet.
Yeah.
Well, last night I had. What did I have? I had...
Yeah, you got horses. Most people probably don't have horses.
Yeah, I had...
Jay Strasberg likes the horses.
Jay loves them. I gave him a few tips. He was wrapped with that. I had Melbourne to win by 19 or more.
Mm-hmm.
Into Cronulla 1-12. Into Chautauqua. Into Maurice.
They're two horses, by the way, people.
Sure. If you don't know Chautauqua, then you're not Australian.
If you don't like horses, you should know. No, you should know
who Chautauqua is.
And no one knows
Google Maurice. It was a great win. Maurice is a Japanese horse, but yeah, there was a decent meeting at Sha Tin yesterday afternoon, and I felt obliged to invest. That paid 56-1, and had $20 on it. Cool. So a nice little gorilla for me.
Basically, sum it up, Jordan. I had a 10-leg multi, all 8 games. I picked the perfect round until Melbourne just decided to yank all their players out. So I had to hedge my bet. I think I won about $700. So that's probably the best multi I've had. But I was filthy just out of principle. That I had to hedge my money when I wanted the perfect round and the credit.
I'm not a massive fan of multis. You know, I'm usually a 2 or 3 legger. Yesterday it was a lazy 20, so I thought I'll throw 4 legs in.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, that's the Fast Five where you did our questions, best, worst, high, low. We've got all your questions and answered them. Let's review the games from the weekend. Souths versus the Tigers, 30-22. The Tigers get the win there. And Souths basically came out on the field and showed nothing again. They had absolutely...
Well, they didn't for the first 50-odd minutes, and then they sort of came back a little bit. But, for the most part, the Tigers were the better side.
And I still don't read much in it, like I said.
And I still don't think the Tigers are a great
side. They scored off Nofaluma's drop ball, a dodgy bomb. The tries in the scoreline didn't reflect to me the game.
Yeah, and then they had a chance to come back and they conceded a try.
Exactly, and I'm more impressed by the Tigers because they got shellacked by 60. We all know the issues that are going on there.
Yeah, but that frustrates me even more, that they get flogged by 60 and then they produce that. And that's...
But also, still, less aside, Moses pulls out, no Woods, lose Tedesco halfway through. It was a good win.
I think they both stink, to be fair.
Yeah, given what they're going through, at least they turn up no dig. What's South's excuse?
What they're going through, all their problems are self...
Yeah, but what's South's excuse? You know, they've just
self-inflicted. Yeah, exactly. No, they're no different to me.
They've just gone the last 6 of 7.
They're both rubbish. They're not making the 8 either of them, I don't think.
Just effort, contact, there was lots of things. Even Sammy and a few of those guys, I thought, were not looking for heavy contact for a long part of that game. And the Tigers were rolling. I'll give them a rap because they were dug in and they're missing players. But, to cover for those losses, and I thought Rankin was probably the standout when he moved to fullback. Brooks had a more solid game without Moses.
He was good.
Being control, and I thought Nofaluma
Farah was good.
Despite his dive, had a pretty good game, and Lawrence and the likes, but Souths, they're just awful. I don't read into this, but I didn't put him in my 8, and after 2 games, everyone was tooting the horn, but they beat Newcastle and the Roosters with no players, so...
They're terrible.
Right now, you're kind of seeing what I was going for, and I didn't expect this combustion, because there's obviously something going on at the club, but just looking at the side in general, I thought they gave up way too much to bring Sammy back. And there's a massive shift going on there, and they haven't moved on with the times. So, yeah.
Move on.
Eels, Dogs, 20-12. The Eels do it again under duress. Good win.
Yeah.
Great win.
Yep. Tough. I was just waiting for the Dogs to win. I thought the Dogs would win. I changed my tip. Obviously, not in this comp. I couldn't because we put them in early and they're locked in. But changed my tip from the Eels to the Dogs. I thought, well, they're a shoo-in if Foran's not playing. But Corey Norman was outstanding. The Eels forwards were outstanding. The Bulldogs' attack is horrendous, and that's about the size of it.
Yeah, I'm with you. They're just so up and down, the Bulldogs. How you get a read on them? Heard during the week there that there was a bit of a Barry beef between Des Hazard and Raylene Castle. Things not too good.
Really?
So, whether that's coming to fruition or not, I think apparently there was a decent Barry beef, and Hazler's on the nose, so it's pretty massive. And I take Raylene Castle as a lady of her conviction. She's much like Tom Greenberg since she's been there. She's done a good job. She usually acts. So.
Good.
Well, if things don't go too well this year, that'd be very interesting to see what happens. But, mate, they've got some problems to address, don't they? Honestly.
We said it at the start of the year.
Said a million times, all the time. I don't know what they're doing. I really don't know. Nothing's changed. They've been running the same thing for 4 years now. move on with the times.
Pretty much.
Join us in 2016. It's just, yeah, they're hard to watch.
Yeah.
But full credit, no matter. Gordon went off. Wicks went off with a concussion thing. They had one on the bench for the last half hour of the game. They were very solid. Norman was outstanding. Bo Scott, Gutherson played very well at his opportunity to fullback there. You think they've got a possible cover there straight away for when Gordon goes, yeah, maybe in a year or two. Yeah. So let's hope that everything works out with the cap situation, with Foran, and they find a way to keep Norman Peets and the base of this side they've got. Because it's nice to see them finally start to show some promise, and I'd hate to see it shut down.
Agrees, huh?
So quick, smart. So good on you, Parramatta. That's a massive win. Raiders, Panthers. Great game of football. I really enjoyed it. Daytime, like you said, actually doing something for the country. Plenty of feeling, and the packs ripped into each other. So I really enjoyed this game of rugby league.
Agree, my man. Great game of footy. Competitive, physical, decent quality, dry footy. Yeah, it was good. Good to watch.
Yeah. Jamie showered, like you said, finally put himself in there. I think Penrith's offloads are outstanding. They really push the football around. The only thing, like we said, it's more the set plays inside 20 that bother me. When there's offloads in chaos, they seem to operate really well because they've got some good football players, and we've spoken about that before.
Yeah.
But just actually some decent set play, structure for unstructure, as you like to call it, I don't see it. And they don't dig into the line like we talked about, Sauer and these guys and the like. So that still worries me. But their online D was finally improved. That's the big issue. They've missed more tackles than anybody, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Or that was a stat. Inside 20 in particular, they concede points. So they toughened up on the weekend for the most part, even when Canberra bombarded them and turned them away plenty of times. Canberra, I thought, had it all over in the second half. Did Papali score? I thought that was a try, but because they sent it up with a try or no try, they went with the other
food decision. I thought it was a try.
I thought that was clearly on the ground. I know, I could see the hand bit. The football doesn't get that low.
We need to accept those if we're going to have the try, no try, send it up. I just think, my opinion on is that if I've got the best view, like, and the bunker does, they should decide.
I thought it was a try, and I thought that they looked at it.
But he couldn't find a conclusive angle.
They looked at it enough times because I think he basically knew, and it was pattern, and he couldn't step out of line after what he copped last week.
Which is ridiculous. If it's right, just push it.
That's what I'm saying. But this is why we need common sense. We're talking about black and white. There's also common sense in rugby league, and that had no common sense.
Yeah.
The Edric Lee one, no try off the double moon. I kind of thought he rolled over. I know he reached afterwards, but when you watch it in slow, you're always going to come to a decision of no. Yeah. I wanted to see it in fast, but I was happy with that to be no. Did Vaughan get blocked? There's been talk about this, but to the letter of the law of what they said last year, I'm pretty sure most of them on Sunday and people I've seen talking about it have agreed that probably should have been a penalty, but I'm not going to complain about that again.
Yeah.
Canberra should have been good enough to get the job done with all those try-score opportunities. They didn't. Rapana, Leilua, I thought, you know, Boydie, Vaughan, all those guys were pretty good. But a good win by Penrith. Merrin's been good the last few weeks. Cartwright, I thought Petrie was really good as well. So,
agree, my man.
Tough win, and the lowest winning aggregate in the history of rugby league after 9 games. That's ridiculous.
Well, congratulations. I don't know whether it's a record that Griffin wants, but
3 points flat.
If there was one thing that he was going to bring to the Panthers, it was tough and competitiveness.
Well, we can already see that when we talked
about he's done that.
Moulding the side the way you want. I like Taylor and Peachy, but he clearly doesn't.
Well, I think he might come around to Peachy. Peachy's been good the last 2 weeks.
Well, Peachy's got value for him to play different positions, but you look at the way he's playing his bench and there's people blowing up about it, he's heading a different way. He likes tough, hard, simple players. He doesn't like the flash and brilliance so much. So that's the way he's taken this football side. Roosters, Newcastle. I reckon I don't really need to talk about the game, but I can sum up how I feel. 38-0 with Mitchell Pearce back on this side and Cordner last week and Jabari Hargreaves building his way back. This brings synergy, and to explain this simply, Pearce brings the balance and the one piece they really needed, because off the back of that, Hastings played his best game because he got to play his natural role, which is not controlling a football game.
Running.
Just running the football, kicking his goals. It brought Latrell Mitchell into the floor. There was no pressure on him. He just did what he does best, get around the football, carry. And the best thing that Mitchell Pearce brings is he plays through the line. And then having a guy like Cordner who plays through the line. And everyone the other week was hating on Guerra and Nikarima. They're not halves. They don't know how to play through the line. He had his best game this week with Pearce back because he takes people to the line. They play straight. They play fast. And the other thing that was back, early shifts, linking up between the halves, moving the football off quick play the balls.
They're clearly a
better side
with him. I think probably 12 to 18 points better with him inside. Yeah.
Early shifts off quick play the balls, though. All those little things. Links between the halves. Pressure off Jake Friend, who's already been outstanding, but 2 try assists and his game was much better. Everyone benefited from Mitchell Pearce coming back into this football side. That's the control they needed. This is what they need going forward. Unaffected by reps, I think they can push for the 8. It's still an ask with the amount of wins they've got to get.
But I'd rather be betting on them than
the Bulldogs or Manly or one of those ones.
Oh, I don't mind Manly, but they need health.
Yeah, I don't know. If the Roosters play Manly, like the Roosters should have beaten them a few weeks ago, and they had Cherry Evans, they had all those blokes. So. Yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You know, throw Pierce in there. I think but the Roosters beat Manly.
I, again, talk about consistency and like the Sharks and these teams playing together. Manly's had no time to play together.
I know that.
No one's been on the field.
I know that.
So
I just think if you put them head-to-head...
They're still going through this teething
process.
Best
sides, but...
Newcastle, again, what am I supposed to say? Another debutante in Brock Lamb. They've already used 30 players. Hard times, but they just need to keep doing this. They need to keep blooding... Keep working through, get blokes first grade experience. I know it sucks, but that's as simple as it is.
Yeah.
They just have to keep working through this hard period. Cowboys, 34-18 over Manly. Basically, this was never in doubt. But again, I reckon Manly were tough. Don't get me wrong. The Cowboys were clinical, and I thought cruising second gear most of the night. And watching them is just an absolute pleasure, as I've said just about every week.
Yeah.
They just beat you however they want. But their middles impressed me so much, in particular in this game. They give you nothing. They just push to the middle. If you want to come through that corridor, you get hammered. Tamalolo cleaning blokes up like third minute, making that effort to finish tackles off. Just little things like that. They've really got the killer instinct, Cowboys. They really, really do.
Playing good footy.
Michael Morgan. Again, I know we're giving Milford all the raps for the flash and they're talking about these other players. I think Morgan's the best six in the comp.
Oh, well, him and Milford, you're splitting hairs.
No, I just think... Oh, I'm a big fan. Jonathan Thurston, oh, that was his probably best game. Like I said, they've all been shuffling these roles the last few weeks, but he had a very nice night the other night. Edge players, Cooper, just tick the boxes for all of them.
Yep, agree.
Just such a good football side. But full credit to Manly again. Reshuffle, walk out to go to the back. Godinay got thrown in after being in the Super League for the last couple of years. He even had to play fullback at the end of the game. I think they're tougher than, again, what we give them credit for. The scoreline, though, is not a true reflection of the game, in my eyes. They did get those tries late. I know the shellacking probably didn't reflect it because I thought they were hard. But, yeah, I think if they were healthy and had some players on the field and were able to get some consistency, they'd be a higher place in the ladder. And there's another thing in there you pointed out. If there's something you want to highlight to your kids about online goal defense and the way to tackle someone, look early on. It's about the 8th or 9th minute, Daly Cherry Evans. You highlight it. Gavin Cooper hits a hole there. Cherry Evans tracks him, gets him high, puts him on his back, basically kills the momentum where they're probably going to score off quick play the ball next up.
Yeah, it was an incredible tackle.
Yeah.
Incredible tackle, yeah. From, a technique standpoint, it was outstanding. Little man on big man.
Yeah, great technique for a half. He's definitely defensively safe. But Cowboys, white hot. And, moving forward, I think they're going to be right there again. The Warriors, 26-10 over the Dragons. Discipline those six players, as we've talked about. No Sheck out for the season. They've got other players. Lulawai pulled out before the game, so that make another adjustment there. Mentoring with the facial issues. This is what bothers you about the Warriors, doesn't it? This is the game they probably should have lost, and then they win.
Yeah.
And then the ones they should win, they can't win.
Yeah.
But overall, summing this one up for me, good on McFadden for taking a stance. Good on the club and good
absolutely.
On New Zealand.
And the players repaid him.
Yeah. And good on New Zealand Rugby League for following his decisions, the disciplinary action that was followed on and everything we've heard today. Good by you. Don't worry about winning at all costs and playing
good
a one-off test match.
Good job by you.
Good job by you. But this one was lost for me at the moment. Again, Paul McGregor, give yourself a triple. He puts Dugan in the centres.
Yeah.
He's been man of the match for you every single week since he's gone back to fullback. Not saying that wins you the game, but the fact you couldn't put a back row in Will Matthews, you played centre for the other week, or another back row, or bring another winger or some cover over, you put your best player back on that island, on that edge where he gets no football, and just sat in there for the whole game.
Yeah.
That's the summary of everything for me from that game. And errors. They had plenty of repeat sets and ball given to them by the Warriors. And they just kept spilling the football and making poor decisions and they can't attack. Their attack's awful.
Yeah, they're hard to get a read on the Dragons. Hard to...
I give a rap to DeBellin and Armour. That's about it. I think Armour's been really, really good and DeBellin just does his work, gets through a mountain of tackles and tries hard.
Frustrating. So it must be frustrating to follow them.
Very frustrating. But good on the Warriors.
Could be worse, but they've
like you
the
said, sticking up for their coach. Still haven't really heard much about this DUI situation. I didn't hear too much. I think he spoke at a
McGregor.
Press conference. at a charity dinner or something, and he thought he was good the next day and drove, but...
Well...
I don't know.
If it was a player, I think...
he got hammered.
But I think McGregor's been in the game for a very long time, been fair, like a clean skin.
He was
accountable. We've all driven and been over, and you just don't know. I had a very, very interesting comment made by, and this is a little bit off topic, by Richard Friedman on the Dead Set Ledgers on Saturday morning. He was saying that he doesn't like the fact that you can basically be tested without any means to know what you are. So there's no real way that we can test ourselves before we drive.
Yeah, but we know
when you you're intoxicated. You know when you're intoxicated.
Yeah, but there's still.
But when you're, but how do you know that?
Yeah, but I go out.
You still feel okay.
I'll be honest. I go out and have 15 beers, 12 beers. Like we can hold a fair bit.
Yeah.
And then I get on the vodka Red Bulls again. And
I won't drive until the late afternoon the next day.
Yeah, but having all that stuff as well peps you up. So if I get up 6 hours, 7 hours late, or like he had a 9 hour sleep, if he had a big night.
Yeah, but I think Friedman's point is that they should sell cheap RBT units or whatever
on eBay, but they're not accurate, so it's still probably get you busted.
Well, something that's accurate.
Yeah, well, you need to buy.
He was saying install them in cars and things like that. That's probably what will happen in the future.
Well, they need to do something, but I can't agree with that on the fact. Like, if I get
It wasn't him making an excuse. No, he was just saying, I don't understand how they do it.
And have a good bender and like rip into it for the night and have 8 or 9 hours sleep.
Well, it's on you.
It's not going to be enough for me to hop out of bed after having a big night and going, yeah, I'm sweet to go.
Yeah, I get all that. I take his point, and I think it's relevant.
10 or 12 beers and a break for 4 or 5 hours and then 9 hours sleep and you just caught over like he was. Yeah. But yeah, if I rip into the Red Bull vodkas, have a sleep, and I've had 12 beers and wake up feeling fine 4 hours later, I should be hot behind the wheel. I should know. It's not out of my system. Melbourne Titans, 38-0. Cold, clinical.
Do we have to talk about it?
Forwards again. They're absolutely outstanding. McLean. I thought that was Nelson's best game. Dale Finucan. Lost 3 before kickoff. Readjusted the back line. Still ran a train. Cronk's best game. Everyone contributed. What else do you want to know? Titans, you said it yourself. They were terrible.
Terrible.
Absolutely terrible. Spirits faded a bit. They've lost 5 in a row. I think for the Melbourne side of things, like I said, it's good to see the spine come along, but the forward pack again, the highlight for me. Munster had another very good game, coming along nicely there at the fullback spot. And Suli, it's nice to see another Fijian in our team. Mm. I've enjoyed him.
He's
one thing I've got to say, 3 doubles, 6 tries in his first 2 games, but he's blown 2 hat-tricks. Last week he stepped on the line when he shouldn't have.
Yeah, he did.
And on the weekend he just bounced one that he missed completely.
Yeah.
He could have had 8 tries in his first 3 games, a double and 3 hat-tricks.
Mm.
Yeah, massive.
He's a big man.
Ooh, big man. Last game, 30-28, Sharks-Broncos, and what a game of football.
Game of the round.
Absolutely.
Game of the round, yeah, it was great. Sharky started off enormous. Their attack was really good.
Yeah.
Brisbane looked a little bit shell-shocked, but regained themselves, challenged late, but Sharks deserved to win.
Just the effort and throwing the kitchen sink, that Michael Innes kick, he's very good at that grabber close to the line and getting the right weight, but all those little effort plays, Gallen getting in there, Fecky taking that bomb and getting sideways, about to get planted, and he got that offload, there was just Sharks bodies.
I thought both the Sharks wingers on kick return were good yesterday. Barber playing good footy. The pass he threw for Fecky's second try, I think it was, or might have been his first try, an absolute bullet.
Yeah, and Maloney, again, like we said, would find himself. The last few weeks, he's been very, very good. Chad Townsend, again. A couple of people said, how's he playing first grade? Give yourself a triple.
Yeah.
Even Sterling at the start of the year was saying, like, I'd play Jack Bird over 10. Like, did you watch him play last year? If you're a Warriors fan...
Well, there's another one. They picked Jack Bird at halfback for, what is it, City?
No, Country.
Ridiculous.
Townsend's playing for City. If you're out there and you're a Warriors fan, you give me your opinion, but I honestly think last year you would have appreciated Chad Townsend. Chad Townsend was very important.
I wanted the Titans to buy him. So you're arguing
some people are like, oh, I don't like, just.
I would have been happy to keep Caesar and pay Townsend and have Caesar and Townsend.
Yeah. Well, didn't happen, unfortunately, but 28-6 at half time. Broncos fight back, as Cousin Gary said, the vampires. when the sun went down, the Broncos came out to play, but yeah, they came home like a train. Sharks did get a little wobbly there and he had that penalty goal, but hey, that made the difference in the end. They held on. You were a little bit worried, I suppose, when Bakuyi got done for the shoulder charge and they got the penalty, but they got the error there, held on to the football, closed the game out.
They paddled a little bit towards the end there, the Sharkies, but...
And Wayne Bennett wasn't happy with Mal Meninga for naming that side a week earlier, because he reckons those few blokes, in particular like a Josh McGuire who hasn't played for Australia and all that, they shouldn't have had that knowledge.
Had their focus on
coming to do it. He even held them back in the sheds, he said.
Did he? Afterwards?
That's what was written or talked about, that he reckons those seven players he held onto because they already knew they were heading in, to just keep their head about him and be focused. Thinking about it, I thought a few of those guys didn't play
probably, too it's though. A fair call.
I thought Corey Parker was mint, as was always.
But, yeah. But, well, as you said, he's been there and done that.
And the other thing I've got to throw in.
He's been there, done that.
McCulloch. People, again, don't give that guy enough credit. He's a good footballer.
Yeah, they missed him.
He's a very... And Blair's been outstanding since he's been back there. But McCulloch, that's massive. He is so underappreciated.
Yep.
Cronulla, definitely the real deal if they can keep growing over the year. Broncos got another year to go. And there it is. That's the Fast Five. We've answered all your questions, given ours, reviewed the games from the weekend. But at this point in the season, I'm going to do a little thing called the power rankings. Brock's got his there as well. Basically, this is our thoughts.
What are we going to go? One each?
1 to 16. We'll head back from 1st to 16th. This is not necessarily going, I think this team should be this place on the ladder. This is ranking the teams after what we've seen, 1 to 16, and we might give a little explanation for some. But my number one is the Cowboys.
I've got the Broncos, only because they've beaten the Cowboys, so I think they deserve to be there.
I thought the Cowboys should have won that game with a few decisions I didn't agree with, but I got the Broncos too.
Yeah, I got the Cowboys too.
They've clearly been daylight, so they're 1 and 2 for us. I got the Sharks at 3.
Me too.
Again, they're on a nice winning streak.
Well, they could have beaten the Cowboys, and they did beat the Broncos.
Well, they've beat the Storm, who we've both got at number 4.
Yep.
Storm, 5 and 2, last 2 weeks have kicked on, 7 and 2 heading into rep round. They just find a way to win games and accumulate points.
Yeah.
5, I've got Para. Again, same. Pretty obvious, these first 5. They are the top 5 in the ladder, but they have showed the best form. Tough under pressure, given all these situations. Brad Arthur has really proved himself to me this
Corey
year.
Corey Norman.
To be the right man. And so is Corey Norman. 6. Now, it gets interesting in this middle part, and I will explain why on our personal thoughts. No one out there have a Barney. You can give us your power rankings. We're all happy about it.
I probably won't read
these people that scuff this stuff up and just lose the plot because your team wasn't a thing. Don't be so biased. Have an opinion. Put it up there. That's all well and good. But if your team's not where you think, don't get your knickers in a knot.
Lewis will read them.
All right. My number 6 is Manly.
Okay, mine's Penrith.
And I agree with you. When I thought about this, I thought maybe Penrith showed a lot more, but I think what I said before, Manly's had injuries. I like what I've seen. I think they're very tough and the way they've played on their own. I think if everything was together, they'd have more wins right now. The fact they're 4 out of 9 with the injuries they've had, I'm very impressed.
Yeah.
So I think there's a good ceiling there.
Well, I think Penrith beat the Broncos, just got beat by the Cowboys, just got beat
just
by the Sharks.
Just got beat or just beat.
Yeah.
That's them.
Okay, right now. But they beat the Eels. So they've beaten... nearly beaten
everyone,
the top 4 of the top 5,
and then they've blown games they shouldn't have done.
Well, they beat the Raiders, so yeah, everyone knows they could easily be 7-0. They could easily be 0-7.
Well,
so
who's your number 7? Mine's Canberra.
Same.
Canberra again, hot and cold, win by 60, then they lose a game they probably shouldn't, they draw with Newcastle, that
Canberra, but they've had issues, injuries and
Soliola, Lima, bit of up and down, losing both their halves. It's been a bit wobbly.
Ricky Stewart spontaneously combusted there 1 week.
My 8 is Penrith, and again, I probably could have put that 6 spot.
Well, my 8 is Manly, so there you go. We've got those two on the opposite.
I can understand. We can both understand each other's thinking, though, can't we?
I can't. No.
No, you can't. All right. No. Well, there you go. You hate Daly Cherry Evans, I say.
No, I don't. I just gave him a rap. I highlighted that tackle.
Yeah,
outstanding tackle. I don't hate him.
9.
I don't rate his form.
Number 9.
Don't rate his back flipping.
All right, good. 9. I got the Bulldogs.
9, I got the Roosters.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to do that again, but since it was only one game, I think going forward, the Bulldogs for me will fall out of this spot if I get what I reckon from the Roosters, who are my number 10.
I got the Dogs.
Yeah.
Because I think if they play right now, the Roosters spank the Dogs.
No, I'm with you. But just because they've won that one game and I don't know that rep, so I'm getting the feeling now that he will pick Cordner and Pearce and they might hurt a little bit. And Guerra's going to be gone too. So it's a tough ask.
Yeah.
After 2 games, I'm happy to put them ahead of like 6 other sides. That's how confident we both are, obviously. Give it 2 more weeks, I'd probably have them inside the top 8, to be honest.
Yeah.
What was that? That was number 9. Number 10, I've got the Warriors.
I've got the Bulldogs.
Didn't you just say the Dogs?
No, I said the Roosters.
Before that one, who'd you have?
At 9, I got the Roosters. Before that, I had Manly.
Oh, yeah, my bad.
Shut up.
I got the Warriors at 10, and yes, even with those injuries, I've still got them over a few sides. I have no idea why, but to be honest, if they can get a win like that on the weekend and they bring all those guys back in, if they clean their act up, I still think they're going to be more competitive than
I've got them at 11.
Some of the sides under them. My 11.
Have you cocked this up? I think you have.
Yeah, have we?
I don't know. I've just got a feeling.
Mate, I think you've got one off after me. We've lost count here.
No, we haven't.
Who did you have as nine? I had Roosters. Mate,
you dogs. Dogs are nine. Count.
Yeah, I had Roosters. Yeah. So I went past and that. Then I had dogs at 10. Who did you have at 10?
Roosters at 10. Just said that.
There you go. Okay, so 11. Now 11. Warriors.
Yeah, Warriors.
Okay, done. There you go.
I think, even like I said, with all the injuries, I've got them above a few of those other sides, because if they have all the bits and pieces back in, they've still got plenty of Kiwi internationals. They're frustrating as all hell, though.
Yeah.
12, I've got the Dragons.
Same.
And that's boring. Not very likely. Their attack needs to improve. They've got plenty of issues.
From Warriors down, I was like...
Oh, it was easy. I got the Dragons here just because they can make a game ugly.
Well, they beat the team that we're about to...
South.
Yeah,
they 13th, beat South. And the only reason I've got them above those other sides is because they've got a better roster and they should be playing better.
Yeah.
And then moving under that, 14th, I've got the Titans because they've showed some toughness. Same. 15th, I've got the Tigers because they're a basket case, and Newcastle are a New South Wales Cup sort.
Sorry, cousin Gary.
So,
he said they were going to make the 8.
Yeah, last.
Can they theoretically not make the 8 yet? I just want to know.
I think mathematically they can still win the 12 games needed, but it's going to be a hell of an ask.
Okay.
They need 12 or 15.
Great.
Good
luck with that.
Yeah. Well, actually, they've got a win and a draw, so they at least to win 11.
They're on 3.
Yeah.
How many do you need to get? You need 30 to
12
get.
And good 40.
Well, say 28, all right? And they've got what, 3?
Yeah, take the buys out of it. I don't count the buys.
3.
But you need 12.
That equals 25, and then you minus away the 4. They need 10 and a half wins.
Yeah, not happening.
Well, 11 wins.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say they won't win 5 games. I reckon they'll be lucky to win 2 more games.
They're going
to
win 11 or 15.
I reckon they'll win 3 for the year.
I don't know. I'm not going to go into that. Because they could run into someone.
No,
that's
I don't
just
care.
Off.
I've just chucked it out. I reckon they win 3.
Well, there you go.
They're going to get 2 more wins this year. That's
Jeez.
It.
Hate mail for Lewis this week.
That's not hate mail. That's just being honest.
Hater Ray.
There you go. At this point in time, we just thought that'd be a nice little thing to do, chucking out power rankings and what we think. Some smaller differences there, but it's basically in that middle portion, isn't it? In the bottom of the 8.
Yeah.
So, no big differences. If you want to give us your power rankings, feel free to chuck them up on the page. But fast fire questions, reviews, power rankings. Now we got a live read from Kaizen Sports. Brock, that starts this week, doesn't it?
No, next Monday.
Next Monday.
It was supposed to start tonight.
Yeah.
But we had a little bit of a drama with the council securing the field. So it's basically, for anyone that's been to Penrith Stadium, it's going to be based on the field behind Pepper Stadium. So it'll be good.
Good time. So if you want to get coached by the man himself, you can go on their website or on their Facebook page. But Kaizen Sports Performance is providing a 10-week rugby league skill-based program for players aged 12 to 17 in the Western Sydney district. Running on Monday nights, Kaizen understands that all athletes physically develop differently, although in order to progress to higher levels in rugby league, there needs to be a strong foundation of skill. Players will be exposed to a number of high-performance coaches to coach the highest level of skill development. The Kaizen 10-week Academy is the perfect program for aspiring players to learn from the best, to be the best they can be. For inquiries, go with kaizensports.com.au or check them out at Facebook at Kaizen Sports Performance. Kaizen spelled K-A-I-Z-E-N. You can be coached by Boxhead.
Luke Pritis is on board as well as a bit of an ambassador, so...
Good times.
Yeah.
Good work by you, Luke Pritis.
Clive Churchill medalist.
Yeah. And he played for a couple of cracker clubs. He played for Canberra, from memory, the Broncos.
He,
and he played for the
famously
Panthers.
Played for the Dragons and got the arse in the 2010 GF.
Cop that. Hell of a player, though.
Nathan Fein.
Tough bugger. And Rugby League Coaching Manual, we've got to give them a thank you as well. You got anything coming up for them anytime soon?
No, not at the moment. I'm with this Kaizen stuff going on. I'll be pretty busy for the next sort of 3 months. So.
Well, still, it's a cracker of a thing to help coaches from all levels. Plenty of stuff on there. So as a Rugby League coach, you have many different jobs. Some include being a mentor, a teacher, a leader, a counsellor, and a drill sergeant. One of the most important roles as a coach is getting the best out of your players. If you are there to get the best out of your players, who is there to get the best out of the coach or out of you as a coach? It's Rugby League Coaching Manual. They have been providing coaching educational material to coaches since 1993 through their flagship publication, Coach Talk, DVDs and drill books. All of this material is now available online through your very own RLCM membership, which gives you access to hundreds of articles and videos on coaching rugby league. In addition to this, you also receive access to online courses, an invitation to the monthly coaching webinar, plus a new edition of Coach Talk every month. To start your 30-day free trial, just visit rlcm.com.au and join as a foundation member today. Thank you, Rugby League Coaching Manual. Thank you, Kaizen Sports Performance. And now we'll be joined by Mr. Gossett. We're just going to do the tips. They don't count point-wise this week, but we'll quickly go through those rep games and give you the odds brought to you by WilliamHill.com. If you're going to have a bet on the NRL or any sport, make sure you do it through William Hill.
Now it's time for your weekly dose of goss from Mr. Gossip.
And he's back! And the Panthers almost killed him again. Gossip.
Mate, unbelievable, eh?
Oh, how are you doing? Seriously, we're going to have to check you into a clinic.
Yeah, struggling big time, honestly. It's just every game, it's getting a bit monotonous now. It gets to the point now where I turn it off for 20 minutes to go and just sit in the fetal position in the corner and rock myself to sleep.
Mate, dead set. Did you see afterwards they now, after 9 games, have the lowest like winning aggregate margin in the history of rugby league? 3 points.
Yeah, doing it on purpose, just to me.
Oh, they did it on purpose this week to kill me because I had Canberra 1-12. Not happy.
Sucked in.
Mate, I'd rather be a Raiders fan, win by heaps one week and get smashed by heaps the next.
It's a lot easier to deal with, I must admit.
Or you could just be a Titans fan and just get pumped by 40.
Just lose 5 in a row.
Yeah. Have we lost 5 in a row?
Yeah.
Oh. That's how used to losing I am.
Oh, brilliant. Well, I'm not going to sit here and, brag or anything, but...
No, well...
We're doing all right.
Nothing new.
We're doing all right.
Yeah, I'm used to it.
What's cooking, mate?
One winning.
Is there much happening this week in between rep round besides a bunch of terrible selections for a pointless game?
Yeah, exactly. No, there's not a hell of a lot going on. It's usually quiet this time of year, and we've got a few things that we can touch on. And that was about 4 weeks ago I mentioned that Elijah Taylor was leaving, and that was confirmed today. So ET's off to the West Tigers. He's got till the end of this year to prove himself to the Tigers, and I hear he's going to hopefully sign a 2-year deal. But no deal is in place past this season, so he's got to impress for the remaining rounds of the competition.
Yeah, I think from what you told us, early doors and anything I read, they were pushing for a 4-year deal off the Roosters, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then the initial deal, I suppose, to go to the Tigers, who are under cap pressure, and him having to play New South Wales Cup would have given them leverage to kind of take him on the option that they've got after the month. But
yeah, the media this afternoon were calling him a veteran, which is a bit strange. He's only 26, so... The veteran's getting younger and younger these days.
Yeah, he's been around for a while, but hasn't he?
Yeah, he's played a bit of nine and in the halves in his early days there, plays in the back row, can play lock, plays lots of positions. But, I expect him to go out there and bust his backside.
I think it's a good purchase for the Tigers. I think it just suits both parties, to be honest.
Yeah, it's well needed. There's no doubt about that. But I think he knows the environment he's going into. But first and foremost, he needs to put his best foot forward and just play good football.
Yeah.
Because he's been frozen out of NRL, so that'll be his goal.
Yeah, originally speaking about that swap with Sherrington, that's gone a little bit cold, but the Panthers are still very keen on him.
Yeah, I don't really blame him. I think we spoke before that we assumed that Seguiara would have a high asking price, or whether the club would even want to talk to him after having, supposed arguments with Griffin, clear in the past, and a bit of an injury issue. So, it wouldn't be surprised me if they were pushing to get another number 9 in there.
No, yeah. I know for a fact they're after him.
And they've got Wallace as well, who I think we all agree probably saved his career, in my eyes, beyond this year. I'd be keeping him around to play 9, or at least be a backup. Or yeah. if you even brought Cherrington now, you could share a game, half a game each, and leave Wallace.
It'd be interesting if the young bloke, what's his name?
Katoa?
No, the one that got injured last week. I can't even remember his name. The Tigers, kid they bought from the Tigers, Panthers, busted his shoulder.
Oh, Tomorrow, Mark.
But it would have been interesting if he was still in.
Sitting there for a minute going, what are you talking about? What position? What are we
no, well, just in terms of Wallace, what they would have done with Wallace if he was available.
I think they would have done similar, kept him at 9, had him on the bench, but then Peachy probably would have got the shun, but then they were missing the salary.
I honestly don't think that he deserved to be dropped. I would have kept him there until his form dictated that you would have had to have moved him.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, boys, on to Conrad Harrell, everyone's favourite goose. he took to Twitter last week. I don't know if many of you saw it, but basically just retweeted a fan's comment about the coach and how the coach needs to be looked at. Obviously, Harrell was told to delete the tweet, but look, I'm an absolute moron if you ask me, and I can't believe the Titans are still keen on him, but after that tweet, you'd think at a reduced price, or someone's got to get involved, because he's just a goose.
Yep, I agree. I don't want him at the Titans. I don't care how big of a ceiling he's got or how much potential people think he's got. He's a clown.
That word, potential.
Mind you, he's probably right. The tweet was right.
Yeah, but it's a dirty word sometimes.
It's just potential. A stupid way to go about it.
He is stupid, unfortunately, but I don't want to go.
Well, actually, he's not that stupid because apparently he was the one driving the car when they had the prescription drugs and the big night out on the drink.
At least somebody.
So he's actually
he was
the
responsible.
Smartest in a group of the dumbest six people currently in rugby league. So.
That's all right. He was the responsible one. Good on you, Connie.
Mensa.
Yeah. Admit that, man. Nah, there's no way you'd sign him with the 10-foot pole. All the discipline issues. He was smiling when he walked out of the tunnel for the New South Wales Cup game. It was all pretty bothersome. Marnie Vatavai looked like he was attending a funeral. Then Connie come up behind him, patting people on the back and smiling. Yeah, by 40 points.
Yeah, I saw that shoot.
But yeah, it, just the whole attitude and the way he conveys himself from such an issue.
I just refused to watch it.
You wouldn't touch him. So yeah, Connie, you've ruined it, mate. You've done it. I think rugby union, we're talking about the back end of last year. It might be time to go to rugby.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. All right, well, last one for the night, boys. And Louis, your dreams have been answered, mate. You finally signed an outside back.
Ryan Morgan.
Yay!
What a player. Mate, my understanding of this situation made me laugh even more. It was basically saying it's a loan deal, but we can't call it a loan deal. We picked him up, but there's an option at the end of the year for him to go back to Parramatta or stay, but we both have to agree. And it's already looking hard for him because last week, Curtis Scott is already back from a broken leg. Tony Tamusa is about a week away. And I don't think Corabidi, Kenner or Tonopapea are out for a long time. So as much as we've rolled through a lot of backline players and Vunivalu being there and Chase Blair, I think he's going to have a quiet year in Reggie's and then back at Parra.
He's probably not going to get a run at Parra anyway either.
Not at this point in time, no. But yeah, you do need depth though. We do have six or seven blokes. If it keeps happening... I think you could do worse, but at the same time...
No, I don't think you could.
Oh, wow. Well, that's ruthless.
I forgot he even existed.
I've got to be honest, yeah. I don't think you could do worse.
All I can say is we're doing well.
But it's a player.
We've got a makeshift back line, and we're still doing
all
right.
All he's got to do in Melbourne is catch it and dive over the line.
Basically.
Yeah.
We told Ben Hampton to play in the centres, and that worked out. So I've got to this point where I've done it in previous years. I've tried to question why we bought someone. I'm not going to do it. Craig Bellamy...
He'll probably play Origin.
Craig Bellamy can do... Craig Bellamy can do... If he signs Chuck Watmau with his new hip and he has to go to walking frame, I'm not going to argue.
No.
Craig Bellamy can do whatever he wants. No.
He turned around Jason Rolls.
That's right.
So.
And you made Jamie the old player.
He's the player whisperer.
Brian Norrie was going to play for the Wagga Kangaroos captain coach, played 150 first grade games.
Yeah.
Right. That's all that needs to be said.
Mm.
Bless you, Bellamy. Bless you.
Right. It's like a wet dream for Lewis at the moment.
Oh. I met him the other week. I was so happy. I couldn't even talk. You know, I love talking.
Yeah.
That's the first time I've been quiet in a long time. I was Craig.
Should have started shouting at him.
Yeah.
See how he likes it.
I think Vaughan got a little bit worried because he was staring with me after. I said I wanted to give him 100 to give me a spray. He's like, "What are you talking about?" I said I wanted to pay him and just tell me everything under the sun. How bad?
Pretend that I'm Cooper Cronk and I've kicked out on the full 3 times.
just spray me. I want F bombs, spit. I want it all.
Yeah. I want him to point at me like James Graham style too, with a little hook finger.
Why? Is that everything that's cooking this week, champion?
Sidetrack.
That's it, pumpkin nuts.
Oh, good times. Well, last week I got 5, you blokes both got 6, so the total's Gossip 44, Lewis 45, Brock still streaking away on 50. Wow.
On 52 in the other comp.
Yeah, it's good times for you.
Equal first.
Tips this week, the points aren't going to count because, you know, some of these games...
Oh, this is rubbish. I'm not
still
going to give up.
We are going to tip these games just for the novelty, and I'm going to give the odds that are available thanks to WilliamHill.com. If you're going to bet on the NRL or any sport, make sure you do it with William Hill. The only odds up at the moment are for the Australian-New Zealand international match on Friday night and the City-Country clash. So we start things off, Kangaroos versus the Kiwis. They've obviously carried on the disciplinary action of the Warriors. Isaac Luke basically said that he didn't deserve to be picked, and Kearney also did not pick him. It's a bit of not a random squad. You think the forward pack's still pretty strong, but they're lacking a centre. You don't know who's going to play number 9, and to be honest, looking at this, I think Tohu Harris might even play 6. So looking at the two sides, you have to be back in Australia in this one, surely.
Yeah, I think we win comfortably.
Gossip, mate, what do you reckon?
Yeah, that's a pretty easy one, boys. The Aussies will win.
I'm disappointed their side's been ripped apart. because I still think it's putting over a band-aid over some of the older guys we've got in our squad. But
yeah, I'm with you, but I still think a few of them will get shown up by some of the Kiwi forwards. What they may lack in the spine, I think their forward pack will still give us a fair run for our money.
Yeah,
it is a very good forward pack.
I hope you're right.
Yeah. I still don't see why we have to play a test in May, but anyway.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Before Origin. Ridiculous.
Yeah. Odds for that one, pretty lopsided, as we said. The New Zealand side been torn apart a little bit by injury and issues there with those New Zealand-based players. Australia are $1.22, New Zealand $4.35, minus 12.5 is the line. 1-12 for both teams. The Aussies $3, $5.75 for New Zealand. 13-plus, $1.90 Australia. $12 New Zealand.
Seems like a good bet, 13 plus Australia.
I like 12 and a half start for the Warriors at $1.90. I reckon we won't scrap.
Come on.
No, the Warriors. Test, New Zealand. Oh, Warriors bird. Stuck in my head. Keith, he threw me off last week, but he tipped him again. He's psyche. It's got me all messed up.
Yeah, he's an idiot.
He's got me backwards. Oh, killing me. Right. Junior Kangaroos and the Junior Kiwis. The squad's not up on the NRL page. What he's doing. But looking at that one, there's a heap of NRL players that are 20s age that have pulled out already. So good luck trying to rely on those lists. And same on the Kiwi side of things. James Fisher-Harris, for example, was named. He's pulled out. I did look at those two teams. I'd be back in the Aussies, to be honest, yeah. Just because they're more heavily NRL saturated. So,
yeah, Aussies.
Yeah,
I think that's a pretty fair assessment.
Why do we tip those?
Oh, well, I was going to highlight some names, but seeing half of them pulled out, it's a bit hard to.
Just watch Tyron.
Yeah, is Young Cleary playing? I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's the ones I was probably going to highlight. Look at Lachlan Croker and Cleary playing in the halves, and Tyron May, who we both think is probably the best player in 20s. He's playing lock in this game, but I think he should be playing NRL right now. And I think
he can play one, he can play six, he can play nine.
I'd like to see him right now playing six in the NRL. That's just my opinion, but. Tyron May, keep your eyes out.
I'm not going to argue with you. I coached him last year. He's a freak. So. Yeah.
Well, that's one to look at. The 13 for Australia, Tyron May. He's a bloke that we've got big raps on. PNG versus Fiji. This one, again, there's a couple of NRL players. You've got Kata Audio, who's doing well down there in Canberra. McDonald, Mead, looking at their side. They're going to put an effort in, but the NRL saturation again of Fiji, you're going to tip Fiji.
Yeah, I don't know. A lot of those names I don't know, so yeah, I'll...
No, well, you've got...
I'll go with you. If you're tipping Fiji, I'll go with you, son.
Sisawonga, the Sim... one of the Sims brothers. These
blokes go around
the Safidis, Vunikitsi, Nguama, etc. There's a few more NRL guys in there. You know what you're going to get out of PNG, and they've been better.
Luke Page, playing for PNG.
Yeah, he's got the blood there. I think one of his parents is Papua New Guinean, but... Yeah, there's plenty of New South Wales Cup players and NRL players in this Fiji side. They are missing a few, but compared to the PNG side... I'm going to be going Fiji on this one. So you're just going to join me on Fiji?
Yeah, I'm
taking
Fiji.
I'll join you in Fiji too, but it'll probably... yeah.
I'll probably want him watching.
I'm more entertaining game than City vs Country.
Well, we're not reviewing these next week, are we?
Nah, hell no. Good. Well, this has been informative. One of the ones that we do know about, Tonga versus Samoa. I think this will be a good game of football.
Yeah,
but
these look like NRL sides.
Yeah, and I think we all agreed before, though, if you're going to lean one way, I looked at the back line for Samoa, and that's probably what tipped me over the edge here. I think looking at Tautai, Masesi Pangai, Michael Oldfield for Tonga, and then looking on the flip side, Samoa, Winterstein, Orvar, Letelli, and Wright. Mateo and Lungi in the halves. I don't mind Lungi. Mateo's a bit loose. And then I see Farmano, Brown, Godinay. And it's a massive forward pack on both sides. But again, I like what's on the Samoan side a little bit more. So.
I'll tell you what, Bart. They're pretty close. I'll go with you. I'll go Samoa.
They are pretty close.
What about Sikamanu, Frank Pritchard flying over to play in this?
But that's what I'm getting at.
We've got players that...
Penny Terapo, Felici, Manu, Tony Williams, Offahengawi for Tonga, I do like, but Cassiano...
I'm saying these guys are playing the Super League.
Yeah,
they're flying halfway around the world to play in a test match.
Oh, it's a great effort.
However, you know, there's people pulling out left, right and centre of these rep games that are 2 minutes down the road. It's ridiculous.
I'm with you 100%. And again, the bench probably tips me over. Asiata, Fatala Marina and Tagatizi. A good bench for Tonga as well with Fafita, Kafusi and Vavo. But
that'll be a good game, this one.
Yeah, that'll be a cracker game. I'm going to go Samoa.
Yeah, winning a Samoa as well, but this will be a good game. I've enjoyed it the past couple of years. I went to the first one that was at Penny Park, 2012 or 13 or something. But tremendous atmosphere. It means a lot to the players, as you just said. They fly halfway around the world to see it. And if you've never watched it before, you've got to at least watch that first few minutes when they do their country dances. I don't know what they call it on a Yeah, I'm not sure what they call the dancers that they do.
Well, similar to Haka, cultural dances.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, from memory.
Upset anybody.
From memory, again, I don't upset anybody, but I'm pretty sure one's called the Sippy Tao.
People just call the outrage.
The Sippy Tao, maybe.
I don't know what it is, so don't even try.
I've had a crack.
I don't know what it is, but
if anyone's out there.
It's awesome, it's good theatre.
If you have Tongan or Samoan heritage, feel free to tell us what the names of the war dancers are.
Yeah.
All right, no worries.
It's a bloody ripper.
Yeah, outstanding. And the last one, City Country, there is odds for this one with WilliamHill.com, but looking at these two sides, I think we all agree the countryside's a lot stronger. They haven't had as many people pull out, and City looks like they've pulled some names out of a hat, basically.
I'm not watching this game.
It's a bit random.
I'm not watching this game.
Fenua Blake has played two NRL games or three NRL games, and then Ryan Madison, who's not on this list on the website, was named today.
Yeah, he's named in the centres.
Wow, he got pushed into the centres now, so someone else has pulled out six.
Ridiculous.
And he's played two games.
I'm not watching this game.
Yeah,
I refuse to watch it. It's absolute dog shit.
he's lost it. Nah.
And Laurie Daly didn't even pick the teams. You were the Origin coach.
I always thought he had
surely
some.
Surely you picked the freaking teams if you're picking the Origin side.
I thought he had some input, but I feel bad.
Yeah, they all sat down and played cards and had three beers and wrote their team list out with crayon.
Yeah, well,
the
main thing that got me today, Brad Fittler came out almost defended that he's disappointed that these players aren't allowed to play rep football because they're clubs. Well, who's going to pay their wage if they get injured in a game that is clearly not a trial for New South Wales?
That's your grand final for the year.
That's it.
Yeah.
You got one job, and someone gets hurt, and they're paying, you know, one of these boys $500,000, $400,000, and they have no chance of playing Origin.
Don't warm me up.
They're no chance of playing Origin. Yeah. It's sad.
It's ridiculous.
The countryside.
The game is an embarrassment. It is an... Like, today, that is the most embarrassing advertisement for rugby league I've ever seen in my life. Chris Lawrence is the captain. Need I say any more?
Yeah, two games. Like, I'm not going to dig names out off the top of my head here, but surely if you've only played two games of first grade, one's off the bench.
Yeah, like, don't get me wrong. Chris Lawrence has been playing good footy this year for the Tigers, but there is absolutely no way in hell, if the world blew up, he's not playing Origin.
No. He's not. I'm with you. But I'm saying,
so
if you're... There's got to be some other random City player that's available.
But this is the thing. It shouldn't be country City. It should just be Laurie Daly picks his best 17
two sides,
times two.
Two coaches.
Correct. His two assistants should do it.
Yeah.
Craig Fitzgibbon, he's a water runner. He's never coached in his life. And no doubt he'd have a lot of knowledge under Trent Robinson. I can cop that. Freddie had his little stint, which went okay, but eventually went sour.
Brayton has to play fullback. Wow.
You know, like... Really, they're making a mockery of the game themselves without anyone else having to do it. But don't blame the players. The sides that are named in the first place, the concept's a joke.
Yeah, we're all going country, though, surely.
Yeah, I'm going country as well. But I remember a couple of years ago, I might have been last year, where Blake Austin had a ripper game, wasn't selected for New South Wales. And a couple of years in a row, Ryan Hinchcliffe got man of the match. He wasn't selected for New South Wales.
Well, that was
like Todd Carney. He did the same thing.
But that was one of the main ones today that he was complaining about. Why would Ricky Stewart give up a bloke that they upgraded his contract last year and he's already struggling with injury to play a game that's not going to get him picked for New South Wales?
I'll tell you what, if I'm Ricky Stewart, I'm ringing every newspaper tomorrow.
Ooh, get angry.
Yeah, Let it go, you've just nailed it. There, Mr. Gossip. But he nailed it.
Yeah, you've hit the nail.
He played last year. He got man of the match. Why the hell would you send him to go around again?
Yeah, he scored a triple.
Leave me alone.
And you know the other one that's killed me? Boyd Corden is like two games back and they're throwing him in this game.
Why the hell is he playing in this game?
Yeah, why would you? Just leave him be. He's probably a shoo-in for New South Wales.
Is he good enough or he's not?
Yeah, he's a shoo-in for New South Wales.
It's ridiculous.
So why would you chuck him in this game and go...
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous. There's going to be an investigation. Someone's going to be held accountable for this. Good on you, Jeff. All right, the odds with William Hill. Country Origin, $1.48, $2.65 for City. I'm going 13-plus on Country at $2.70, just quite.
I'm going, I don't care.
Yeah, good contribution.
Surely there's got to be a netball game or something on that I can watch on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
Well, that's... I shan't be watching this.
This has been a very brief version, obviously, of Gossip and our random tips just to give the odds. Thanks to WilliamHill.com. But Gossip, before you go this week, we're basically 1/8 through the season. Just a couple of thoughts. After the Sharks' performance on the weekend, do you think they're a genuine threat to this competition? Seeing they had a close game with the Cowboys, they've beaten the Broncos, and they've obviously beaten the Storm, which are all teams hanging around the top four.
Well, they're definitely a top four side, but geez, it was a close game against Brisbane on the weekend. I don't think we can read too much in that. It was, you know, there was a hair whisker in it, but they'll be in there, the Sharks. I think I did tip them for top eight. I can't remember if I tipped them in top four, but... I didn't think they'd come on this good so quickly. They started the season really, really well. And their attack, wow. Cronulla and attack are two words that you never put together in the past 20 years. So good luck to them that they're playing really well.
Yep, and two more before you go. Just quick fire. Anyone, is there a team that has surprised you and a team that's just completely let you down?
Parramatta really surprised me. Again, I thought they might be fighting for an eighth spot. I'd never thought they'd be fighting top four. But unfortunately, that all might come crashing to your head this week. But we keep hearing that every week. But that will be, a crushing blow for Parramatta. But a team who has really failed is the Warriors. Again, I didn't tip them in my top eight. A lot of people did.
Mm-hmm.
And I only
tipped sure
them
did.
Because of that name, the Warriors. So, they've really let me down. And they can't blame injury. They can't blame the coach, really. The players just aren't having a dig.
There you go, everyone. You got that straight from the horse's mouth. Mr. Gossip, the man himself, he gave us the quick update. We've given you our random pointless tips, basically, for this week, and the odds brought to you by WilliamHill.com. If you're going to have a bet on the NRL or any sport, make sure you do it with William Hill. Gossip, mate, enjoy your week off. No heart attack material this weekend. You can rest the ticker. Maybe go lay by the water, have a few sherbets, and not worry that Penrith's going to try and send you into an insane asylum.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to it, boys. Might kick off, have a few beers, and might watch the lawn bowls this week instead of City Country.
That seems like a much calmer sport, I must agree. Have a good one, champion.
All right, thanks, Roy.
See you, mate. And a big thanks, as always, goes to Mr. Gossip. Love having him on board. The tips, we're not doing too well, man. Gossbrock, unfortunately.
I don't care.
Yeah, of course you don't.
I don't care.
Running away like a freight train, but
I just tell it how it is. I give the people what they want.
That's right. We're a third of the way through the season. Rep round's coming up. Try to enjoy the weekend. I am going to enjoy Friday night, Australia, New Zealand, regardless of the circumstances.
Yeah, I think Saturday will be
right. The Warriors will throw
up. I want to see the girls game.
Yeah, but the Warriors... not the Warriors. The Kiwis, sorry. I don't know.
Come on,
bloody
mate.
Stuck in my head. He's reverse psychology, me, Gossip. He's killing me. I still reckon the Kiwis will put up a fight. I think they've put a week aside in. Under the right circumstances, good on them for taking that strong stance, but I think they're going to give us more trouble than what people give them credit for with that forward pack. That's a good forward pack.
Yeah.
And they've done it before a couple of years ago when we thought we were going to hammer them with Tohu Harris playing in the half, for Christ's sake. So,
but we still won, though.
Yeah, City Country, a bit of a joke. I still am going to watch it. I know you're not, but no. I still will because it's game of footy.
I'll probably watch it.
Tonga Samoa, I will definitely watch, and I'm going to watch PNG Fiji because you know what you're going to get out of those nations.
Yes.
So, 1-8 through. Power rankings, I think they're pretty reasonable, what we've come up with. Anybody out there, like we said, if you want to give us your power rankings, just like we do with the question situation, always happy for it, but don't be offended because where we've put your team, we've given reasoning for it. That's what we're all about on this show, reasoning. Don't just spontaneously abuse someone because you're a Manly supporter or a Dragon supporter.
I don't know why you're even giving it.
Yeah, but just...
Don't give it oxygen.
When someone's like...
Just ignore them.
My team's the best in the world and they're
just
terrible.
Just give us all I want. You know? Is something intelligent. Just give us something
Give us reasoning. Everyone's pretty smart that talks, but when someone just drops something like, you're an idiot, you put this team here, I'm like, well, you go for them.
Yeah, look.
You're angry about it.
You don't need to tell me I'm an idiot, I already know.
Yeah, but you're angry about your team. Just your team.
Yeah.
Don't be biased.
Well, if your team's playing like the Cowboys, we'll probably rank them right.
Don't be biased. This is the fifth and last NRL podcast. It's not the Panther podcast or the Stormcast or the Titan cast. It's the fifth and last, all right?
This is
about NRL. It's about the competition. We talk about football. We're not specialising for somebody's team, so we will not bow...
Somebody's
team. We will not bow to someone's desire to be told that their team is better than another. But enjoy this weekend off. We'll be back next week. We'll try and grab a guest next week. We've had a bit of a rough period trying to organise times this year.
Guests are overrated. I've got to be honest.
I did like Mad Paul Kent on that.
Yeah.
That was a cracker episode.
He's a busy man and it's trying to organise him.
And us.
And us. Yeah. So.
It's hard with work, unfortunately. Yeah. But Fast Five, questions answered, games reviewed, power rankings, gossip, the tips and all the odds brought to you by WilliamHill.com. Make sure if you're going to have a bet on the NRL or any sport, you do it with William Hill. Thank you, Kaizen Sports. Like Brock said, that'll be starting next week. Out the back there of Pepper Stadium.
Next Monday night.
There you go. So if you want to get coached by the great man, is there any availabilities left?
There is. It's very thin.
Yeah, very, very thin. From 12s to 17s.
So right. 12s, 13s, 14s, 15s, 16s, 17s. They're in two age... Well, each age group is combined. So 12s, 13s is one. 14s, 15s is two. 16s, 17s is three. And there's only 25 spots available in each. Yep. So 75 spots available total. I think... There's only about 10 spots available across the academy.
So. Kaizen Sports Performance, K-A-I-Z-E-N. Find them on Facebook, then link to the website. And a big thanks as also goes to Rugby League Coaching Manual. Outstanding for all levels of coaches. Get on there, look at the webinars, look at the videos. Unless you're Paul McGregor. Yeah, unless you're Paul McGregor. Just keep coaching defense, no attack. That works too. So big thanks to all the sponsors. Thank you to all you guys. Enjoy your weekend and enjoy your Rugby League.
Bring it on. Give us more. Where are you going? What's going on here? Is that it?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.